Thanks, Mania. I feel so fortunate to stand on the stage for the third time in my life talking about page load times. And this work follows closely with my previous work published at NSDI 13 and 14. And it will be the last episode of this whole story, so I hope you folks can enjoy it. The episode is about how we speed up web page loads with Shandian. So Shandian means lightning in Chinese, and this work is collaborated with my fantastic PhD advisors, Arvind Krishnamurthy and David Weatherall from the University of Washington. So let me get started. We know that loading web pages is slow, no matter whether on desktop or mobile. Back in NSDI 13, we asked the question, why is page load time so slow? This is a simple web page that embeds a CSS and two JavaScripts. One would think that loading such a page should be fast since it only contains four objects, each of which is entirely based on text. But what happened in practice? Let's assume the x-axis represents elapsed time and the y-axis represents object group. First, the HTML will be loaded and parsed. When the parser gets to the CSS tag, the CSS will be loaded and then evaluated. The HTML parser continues parsing and gets to the script tag. At this point, what usually happens is that the parser would stop and load the JavaScript. The reason is that both HTML parsing and JavaScript evaluation can access to the DOM, which has to happen sequentially. And similarly, the JavaScript has to be evaluated after CSS finishes evaluation, because they both can get access to the styles of the DOM. For some smart browsers, they will look ahead and load the next JavaScript as well. And this second JavaScript is not evaluated until the previous JavaScript finishes evaluation. And after the second JavaScript is evaluated, HTML parsing resumes, and page contents are shown, and finally, the page is loaded. So the whole process means that a simple web page incurs complex load process, mainly due to the interactions between HTML, JavaScript, and CSS. So how much have the state-of-the-art technologies solved this problem? In NSDI 2014, we asked the question, how much can Speedy help page load time? Let's come back to the dependency graph. Say, if Speedy helps the load time of the embedded object by half, so how much would it help page load time? Well, it wouldn't help much, at least not as much as 50%. Okay, so if Speedy server push is well implemented, meaning that it well prioritizes all the objects, how much would it help page load time? Even if the embedded objects were loaded immediately after the HTML was loaded, page load time would not be improved as much. What does this mean? This means that page load has so many factors, not only network, but also computation, and the dependencies between network and computation. A technology that helps one of these factors is hard to help the overall page load time. So in this work, we think about what the page load process would look like if we design it from scratch. Thinking about the dependency graph, what does the simplest dependency graph look like? I'll give you 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1. Okay. It should be somewhat like this. We load an object, evaluate it, the page contents are shown on the screen, and we are done. We don't need to fetch external CSS or JavaScript, And we don't need to parse and evaluate the whole jQuery in order to just use one or two jQuery functions. Imagine an object that just contains the necessary elements for a page to be displayed. The process of loading it would be lightning fast, right? So how can we interact with this page in that case? When we click on a button, the JavaScript that triggered by this button is actually being eliminated by this object. But this should work. The second question is, how can we make use of caching as we have already broken down the objects? Okay, so after a page is displayed, we fetch the remaining resources in the page. Ideally, we should keep them as is so that they can be used by caching or CDN technologies. The question is, can we make every page's dependency graph look like this? Yes, we want to make every page look like this, and we do it automatically. But the question is how? Our approach is to pre-process the web pages on the proxy server in order to simplify the client-side page load process. We prioritize web page contents according to whether they are used in an initial page load. We refer to page contents that are used in an initial page load as load time state. Load time state only contains necessary contents for a page to be displayed and ensures that a page is displayed as fast as possible. We refer to page contents that are not used in an initial page load as post load state. They can be migrated to the client as users are browsing the web page. Post load state ensures that future interactions with the page are still correct and that it is compatible with existing page load improvement techniques such as caching and CDNs. Here is the outline of the work. First, I'll describe our design of load time state and post load state. And then I'll talk about its deployment, implementation, and evaluation. Let's first look at the load time state. The goal of load time state is to display as fast as possible. So the idea here is to eliminate not only the contents of JavaScript and CSS, but also their computation on the client, which is the slow part. For JavaScript, we fully eliminate JavaScript evaluation on the client and just send the result of JavaScript evaluation to the client. For example, some web pages use d3.js to construct a SVG image. We keep the SVG rather than the JavaScript that construct the SVG on the client. And for CSS, we fully eliminate the CSS selector matching process and just send the client the results of CSS selector matching. So let's look at an example. When a page is being loaded on a server, the server serializes matched CSS rules and visible HTML elements with information about which rule matches to which elements. That is all we need for load time state. And note that there is the result of JavaScript evaluation is already reflected here, so we don't need JavaScript snippets at all in load time state. And the resulting page load process should be much simpler than before, which should be like this. Okay, now let's look at the post load state. Post load state ensures correctness of future interactions, requiring that the post load state together with load time state should contain all the information about a web page. It also needs to work with caching and CDN, which requires that it contains unmodified JavaScript and CSS snippets. Let's start with the simplest post load state that satisfies the two requirements. That is the entire web page itself. The advantage is that it's relatively easy to ensure that loading the entire web page again is equivalent to as if no split browser is used. The disadvantage is also obvious. That is, there are so many redundant contents and computation that can slow down the time to interaction. So starting from here, how much can we improve? I'm not going to present all the detailed work we've done. I'll just give the very simple idea. So for example, we have a piece of CSS that has the same CSS rule repeated for 3 times. What's equivalent to this CSS? Yes, it's equivalent to just having this CSS rule appear just once. And here is the second example. What's equivalent to this JavaScript? Well, here we have to hello world 3 times. And how about this example? So declaring the same function multiple times is actually also equivalent to declaring it once. So from all these examples, I just want to say, in reducing the redundancy in post-load state, we exploit idempotency of evaluating CSS and some of the JavaScript. When idempotency applies, we eliminate the redundant content that appeared in the load time state. When idempotency doesn't apply, we capture the results of non-idempotent job statements. Let's see how we deploy and implement Shandian. The key for deployment is for fast loads on the proxy server. So first, we should have a beefy server. And other than that, we require that the proxy server to be co-located with the front-end servers of the website. It can be either part of website itself, such as reverse proxy, or a third-party public cloud, such as Amazon EC2. Let's see what the architecture is like. When the page is being pre-processed on the proxy server, it loads HTML, JavaScript, and CSS from the web server. As the proxy server is co-located with the website frontends, this process should be fast. When the client loads the page, it will fetch load time state and then post load state from the proxy server. What we can do with objects other than HTML, JavaScript, CSS, for example, images? Well, we don't have to really change anything. They can still be fetched from CDNs or any form of caching or where it originally comes from. Let's briefly talk about our implementation. We develop a server extension for the proxy server. It's a simplified version of Chrome that only includes web page specific features. We only let it to handle HTML, JavaScript, and CSS, not the rest. And the client-side browser is Chrome, which works for both desktop and mobile. We add a JSON lexer and modify Blink and V8. We don't really actually touch their core functionalities, but only the glue between their components. Now, let's see how Shandian performs. We set up experiments as follows. The proxy server is relatively beefy, and the clients include a real phone and a desktop VM with varying computing power and network settings. We look at the page load time of the top 100 web pages. Let's first see page load time on the mobile device. The y-axis is page load time, and the x-axis is sorted web pages. We see that Shandian helps 60% of the page load time in the median case. Let's see how Shandian performs with varying RTT. We do experiments with minimal RTT in the LAN, which is about 0, and a 200 millisecond RTT. The x-axis is page load time, and the y-axis is cumulative distribution function. We see that the page load time of Chrome is increased, giving a larger RTT, but the page load time of Shandian is increased very little, giving a larger RTT. This means that, unlike Chrome, Shandian's improvements is not sensitive to RTT. This is because the client-side page load process is simple on Shandian that doesn't incur complex dependencies. Let's see how Shandian performs with varying CPU speed from 1 GHz to 2 GHz. The x-axis is page load time, and the y-axis is still cumulative distribution function. we see that the median page load time of Shandian consistently reduces page load time of Chrome by more than half. And CPU has the same amount of impact for both Chrome and Shandian. Besides RTT and CPU, we also vary bandwidth and memory size and find Shandian has consistent improvements. Besides that, we break down page load time to identify where the benefits come from. We find that pre-processing on proxy server is very fast and the time is negligible compared to the client-side page load time. When nothing is being cached, Shandian slightly increases the page size by 1% after being gzipped. And this also means that improving latency and reducing page size are two different problems. Our work differs from mobile browsers that use a split architecture such as Amazon Silk and Opera Mini. Their client-side browser requires to contact the network for any JavaScript evaluations, which is both slow and unreliable. This also requires that they place their proxy server near the clients. But for us, we place our proxy servers near websites for fast pre-processing on the proxy server. And compared to related work that prioritize resources such as Speedy or HTTP2 server push or Klotsky, we not only mitigate the impact of page load dependencies, but also go about removing the dependencies themselves. To sum up, Shandian split the page state according to whether they are used for an initial page load. And this makes dependency graph until the page is loaded very, very simple. Evaluations show that it improves page load time by more than half consistently under a variety of settings, and the improvements are not sensitive to network interactions. And it is compatible with other page load reduction techniques such as caching and CDNs as well. That's all about my talk. I'll be happy to take questions.
Okay, this is Matt Welsh from Google. It'll be quick. So we like this work a lot, and you know we've done a lot of things somewhat similar to this. But at the end of the day, the biggest challenge is breaking web pages. And you know, you said that this was not going to break any web pages. But what I'm confused about is you're running JavaScript on the server, then you have to transfer the state over to the client. What happens when the web page uses JavaScript to construct a very large object or data structure in memory? You have to transfer the whole heap state of the JavaScript heap from the server to the client so that the client-side JavaScript can keep running and still have that state. Is that correct?
So it really depends on how much you optimize. So like I said, the vanilla, so you're basically talking about the post-load state I refer
right.
to. So a vanilla approach is just send the entire pages so that it can be loaded the second time. But that's gonna be a waste for both.
Not just a waste, but broken because it's not idempotent.
You can't just
re-render the page on the client. It's going to have side effects.
So basically, I discuss a lot of details in my papers as to what are idempotent and what are not idempotent. So for idempotent things, we just reuse. But if it's not idempotent, we have to capture all the state.
So you do, in the worst case, have to do that and transfer all the state over. Okay,
yeah.
I was just curious to know because that seems like a kind of a big weakness there. Okay.